Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, Text number 28. Excuse me? It should be Kritaisa. Kritaisa, text number 28. Yep, 28. Chaguranga, he read a few verses yesterday. Kritaisa. Vidhava Lanka Vayang Cha Kulanandana Deha Krito Nang Gridhanam Atma Naraka Hetave Kritaisa Vidhava Lanka Vayam cha kulanandana Deya kritonam gridhanam Atma naraka hetava Kritaisa vidhava lanka Vayam cha kulanandana Deya kritonam gridhanam Atma naraka hetave Kritaisa vidhava lanka Vayam cha kulanandana Deya kritonam gridhanam Atma naraka hetave. Chakulanandana Deya Kritonanam Gridham Atmananarke Hadavi Kritaisya Vitavadanka Vayam Chakulanandana Deya kritonam gridhanam Atma naraka hetave Matajis Kritaisya vidhavalaka Bhayam cha Kritaisa vidhavalanka Vayam chalamana Deha kritunam niranam Atma naraka hetave Krita made by you Esha all of this, vidhava, without a protector, lanka, the state of lanka, vayamcha, and us, kulanandana, O pleasure of the Rakshasas, Deha, the body, Krita, made by you, Anam, eatable, Gruranam, of the vultures, Atma, and your soul, Naraka Hetave, for going to hell. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka, and also we ourselves, now have no protector. By your deeds, you have made your body fit to be eaten by vultures, and your soul fit to go to hell. Purport. One who follows the path of Ravana is condemned in two ways. His body is fit to be eaten by dogs and vultures, and the soul goes to hell. As stated by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 16:19. Tanaham dvisata kuran sangsharesu naradhamam. Shippam ajastram asubham asriv veva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Thus the destination of godless atheists such as Ravana, Hiranyakasipu, Kamsa, Dantavakra, and Dantavakra is a hellish condition of life. Mandodari, the wife of Ravana, could understand all this because she was a chaste woman. Although lamenting for the death of her husband, she knew what would happen to his body and soul. For although one cannot see directly with one's material eyes, one can see with eyes of knowledge. Pashyanti jnana chakshusha. In Vedic history, there are many instances of how one becomes godless and is condemned by the laws of nature. Yes, Prabhu. Oh, no, I'm gonna turn it off. That was just for the reading. Hare Krishna. Om Jnanatamanandasya Jnananjana Salakya Chakshum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Krutu Vachalam Pungun Lung Hayate Grim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Vanchikalpa Tivyasya Kripa Sindhu Devacha Paditanam Pavanevya Vaishnavevya Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So I believe this Mandodari is still speaking. She is, it's mentioned that she is such a chaste lady that she's right there in the list of great chaste ladies, Draupadi and Parvati. But she wasn't a pure devotee, so she didn't understand. Here she's saying that without Ravana, then they have no protector. But the protector of everyone is Krishna. So she didn't have this understanding. Anako yasya sankalpa pratiko yasya vajanam ratsisi titi vishvashu gopirte sarnamitha. These are the six different types of surrender. To accept things that are favorable for devotional service. Now this Mandodaris, he was a great soul, no doubt. Not a pure devotee, but a great soul. She was actually trying to encourage Ravana in many instances that just give Sita back and surrender to Ram. You don't know who this person is. She had some understanding of who Ram was. But the best thing that she could have done, because Ravana was such a big demon, was just to leave him. Because he was such... And Srila Prabhupada mentions in a purport that a chaste wife will always be to the side of her husband unless he falls down. If he falls down, then it's her duty to leave such a husband. So what does... I mean, he was... You know, Ravana wanted to kill Ram. You know, I mean, that's a pretty big fall down. But she was still by his side. But there was another relative who did leave Ravana, a very close relative. Who was that? Vibhishan. Yeah, brother. He left him and fought against him even. So he had more devotion. Yeah. Actually a great soul. He fought on the side of Ram to bring back Sita. So very exalted, actually. And as many of you know, in India, you know, the bodily ties are very strong. So, and even Ravana said, if you weren't my brother, he said to Vibhishan, I'd kill you if you weren't my brother. Because he was always trying to correct him, get him to go the right direction, of course. Because Ravana was so much in the mode of passion and ignorance, he couldn't take direction. He couldn't take proper direction. Yeah. Therefore, he couldn't understand who Ram was. As long as one is in the mode of passion and ignorance, one cannot understand God. Yeah. So this process of Krishna consciousness is meant to bring us out of that mode of passion, mode of ignorance, come to goodness, and then we could understand who Krishna is. It's not an easy thing to understand God. But by hearing and chanting, by practicing Krishna consciousness, then we get purified. And eventually we can understand. It's actually natural to understand God because we're all part of God. It's unnatural to not understand, to not have a relationship with Krishna. And it's because we have these desires, these material desires, and these, you know, this mode of passion, ignorance, all these things going against us, and therefore we can't understand. These chains of desire keep us locked up in the material world. So many chains of desire, these subtle chains of desires, keep us locked up in the material world. But this process is so powerful that we can become free of all these many chains of desire and have our true, our real desire, which is to serve Krishna. This is the real desire of the soul. This is the cherished desire of the soul, to serve Krishna. Yeah. So this is what we're trying to bring out. It's there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kavanoi Shravanari Sutta Chitta Kurya Yido. It's there. It's just covered by all these other material desires. But by this hearing and chanting, this intense desire to serve Krishna, this Tivra Bhakti, this intense desire to serve Krishna, it'll come out. Now Mandodari, she's mentioned here that she had some knowledge, of course, because Ravana, he was such a demon. He had caused so much pain. Was it Ravana means he who likes to see others cry? This is the meaning of Ravana. Imagine. So low. So because he caused so much pain to others, she understood, your future is dark. Your body's going to be eaten by vultures and dogs, and you're going to hell. you're going to really suffer. So she had some understanding of karma. I was at a school yesterday. I went over to West LA College on a Friday, believe it or not. It's real slow. But I met some nice people. A lot of nice people took Bhagavad Gita's. One student I was speaking to, he said as we were talking about karma, he said that just recently his professor had said that there's no scientific evidence for karma. So I said, well, you know, there's no scientific evidence for the theory of evolution, although students are taught it in universities, not only in America, all over the world. Students have to study the theory of evolution, but there's no scientific proof for it. That's why it's still called a theory. And the Big Bang theory, also, the students have to study this. It's a theory. There's no scientific proof. And they have this theory of evolution. There's always the missing link. There's the eternal missing link. Prabhupada said, the missing link is my boot in your face. So these scientists, they're such rascals, so much speculation. Therefore, this is the ascending process. They're getting, you know, by their so-called intelligence, they're getting some knowledge. But there's the descending, and this is the process that we follow. Higher knowledge coming down. And therefore, Prabhupada, he mentions in the purport here, Pashyanti Jnana Chakshusa. The devotee, he sees with knowledge. Knowledge which is coming down from Krishna. Now, when a doctor sees a body, he just sees a biological body. But when a devotee sees a body, he sees more than just a body. There's the kshetra, kshetra-gya, and there's the paramatma. So there's the body, there's the knower of the body, the soul, and there's the paramatma. So he sees beyond just the body. Like there was one doctor who had seen many people die right in front of him. He's looking in their eye when they die. And he said that when they die, a luster just disappears. He's looking straight into their eye, and all of a sudden, a luster disappears. And from seeing this again and again, he said there should be some investigation of the existence of the soul. Because this is what he concluded. It must be the soul leaving. Yeah. And this was an article. And one devotee sent this to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada and this doctor were having exchanges. They were having letter exchanges about the existence of the soul. So we get so much information of the reality of the existence of the soul, of the existence of the super soul. So much knowledge is being given to us, you know, by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada who brought it. You know. So Krishna, he is the protector. Therefore it's stated, actually Krishna, he says to Uddhava, in the Uddhava Gita, Prapanam Payamam Isham Bittam Ritu Gaharnavat. Krishna says, this is how you should pray to me in the form of the deity. Please protect me who I'm trying to surrender unto you. I'm very fearful of this material existence standing as I am in the mouth of death. So this is how we should pray to Krishna. Krishna's given us so much direction. Yeah. So he's telling us here also how we should pray to him. Please protect me. Because this material energy is very, very powerful, very difficult. Very difficult to overcome. But it's possible by this constant practice and by detachment. Then we can get closer to Krishna. We can be protected from his illusory energy. So this process, Srila Prabhupada, he says in one purport, that this process is the mental culture of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Krishna says, man mana bhava mad bhakta, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your homage unto it, that you'll come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. So we're trying to always think of Krishna. And Krishna says in the Gita also, he says this is called mental discipline. We have to discipline the mind, you know. Like Prabhupada said, that controlling the mind is like controlling a baby, a one-year-old baby. They always have to be followed, you know, or taken care of. They have to be watched constantly. You know, don't go over there. You know, don't. You know, they have to be constantly watched. And we have some fathers here who know that, first-hand experience. So the mind is like that. It's like a one-year-old child. No, don't go over there. You don't want to go over there. It's not good over there. You're going to get contaminated. You're going to get bewildered. Don't go over there. Come back to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So here in the purport, Prabhupada, he says, one who follows the path of Ravana is condemned. So what is the path of Ravana? The path of Ravana was sense gratification. He was very much absorbed in sense gratification. Therefore it stated, Mahatsevam dvoram ahoryu muktes tamo dvoram yositam sangi sangam, that if one serves the great souls, the door to the spiritual world is opened. Just by serving the Vaishnavas, the door to the spiritual world is open. But by serving the senses and persons who are just interested in sense gratification, the door to hell is open. So we want to become free of this service to the senses, service to the mind, and try to develop our service attitude towards Krishna. This will give pleasure to the soul. Here it said that you are the pleasure, she's saying to Ravana, you are the pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty. And so the goal of the Vaishnavas is we want to become the pleasure of the Vaishnavas. And we want to give pleasure to the Vaishnavas. And therefore it stated, Satang Prasangang Mamavirya Sangvido Vivantirit Karna Rasayanakata. Satang Prasangang, the devotees of the Lord, they derive great pleasure hearing about Krishna in the association of other devotees. Gives great pleasure. Yeah? Just like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with Ramananda Roy, they were discussing about Krishna consciousness. And they would stay up all night discussing Krishna. Yeah. Deriving so much pleasure. And there's so many pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita of devotees doing like that, just hearing the pastimes of Krishna all night long, yeah, relishing the association of the devotees. So, and this is what takes place in the association of devotees. We remind each other of Krishna. Yeah. We remind each other of the importance of being Krishna conscious, of hearing about Krishna. And by this remembrance of Krishna, we become liberated. Satang prasangang mama virya sangvaro bhavanti vritkarna rasayanata. That this hearing of Krishna and the association of devotees is very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. And by this hearing in the association of devotees, we become liberated. And we gain a taste for Krishna consciousness. Yeah. This is how to get a taste. It's like Prabhupada, he came to the West. Who had a taste for hearing? Very few had a taste for hearing. Nobody heard of Krishna, practically speaking. But then when Prabhupada came, he had such a strong desire to hear about Krishna and let others hear about Krishna, that it spread. There's even a book called the Hare Krishna Explosion. But why was that the Hare Krishna explosion? Because Prabhupada had such an intense desire to help others hear about Krishna that Krishna fulfilled Prabhupada's desire and he sent so many people to him so they could hear. So they can hear about Krishna. Yeah. So this desire is so important. If we desire that people hear about Krishna, if we desire that people take books, then Krishna sends people. There's even one little statement, one purport, Prabhupada says, that Krishna, upon seeing the sincere effort of the devotee to spread Krishna consciousness, enlightens the non-devotees from within their heart to go to them to receive a book or to hear about Krishna. So this is how Krishna reciprocates. So the more we desire to give Krishna to others, Krishna sends people to take books or to hear about Krishna, to join this Krishna consciousness movement. So everything is being woven around desire. Just like the non-devotees, they desire sense gratification. And Krishna is so kind, all right, you want sense gratification? Here. Here, take sense gratification. It won't satisfy you, but here, take it anyway. Krishna is so kind. But then, you know, people learn sometimes. You know, it's called the school of hard knocks. You know, people suffer so much, then they think, well, why? Why am I suffering? Yeah. So this is the mercy of Krishna. Yeah. And this is the mercy of Krishna or Lord Ram on Ravana. He is so fortunate that he got killed by Ravana. What happens when someone is killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? They get liberated. Just like in the Battle of Kurukshetra, so many people were killed in the battle. But they were all liberated because Krishna was there. Special mercy. Yeah. So this is what we're trying to achieve, this special mercy of Krishna, so that we can get purified and go back to Krishna. But before we can do that, we have to become free. I was just listening to one lecture. We have to become free of mental garbage. There's so much garbage in the mind. Lust and greed, anger, envy. So much nonsense that we don't want. That we've had for a long time. We didn't know it wasn't good. Now we know it's not good. So now we want to become free of this mental garbage. And replace it with Krishna consciousness. With hearing the glories of Krishna. Satang basangang mamavirya sangvano bhavantivit karna rasayana to josanad asa babargavarni shradharatir bhakti anukramishati. And we gain great faith by hearing. It's like, of course, we really gain great faith from hearing about Krishna from Prabhupada. Because he's there with Krishna. Yeah. I listen to Prabhupada's lectures over and over again, and they don't get dry. Because they're coming from the lips of a pure devotee. Just like the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, they never get dry. Because they're coming from Krishna. So anything coming from a pure devotee also doesn't get dry. You can hear it over and over and over and over again. And we get purified. So this is so important. This hearing and chanting. And then we get purified, and we can go back to Krishna. So any question or comment? Yes, microphone is just coming.
You, thank you very much. Your classes are always so... organized and enlightening. Thank you. You said earlier that someone or some scientist even said that there's no science behind karma. And one wonders if there's not an envious element there, because there would obviously need to be a higher intelligence arranging that. It's interesting to note that the father of modern science, Sir Isaac Newton, I believe it's the second law of motion, third. For every action is an equal and opposite reaction. And if he was more open, he might consider just extending that from the gross level to the subtle. Even his own grandmother has more wisdom and would say that, you know, as you make your bed, so you lie in it, what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
So I think it's so sad that that envious attitude prevents them from actually being a real scientist themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they can't see the scientists, their line of logic is that if you can't see it, it doesn't exist, isn't it? So you can't see the karma, so it doesn't exist. But has anybody ever seen a thought?
Right.
Nobody has ever seen a thought. But they exist. No one's ever seen. We can't see air, even. It's right here. We can't see it. You can't see intelligence. So many things we can't see, but they certainly exist. So this is a law. Therefore, these other ones is like the theory of evolution, the theory of the Big Bang, but this is the law of karma. And that's given by Krishna. This is the law of karma. Therefore, it's called a law.
It's like saying, I don't believe in the law of gravity.
You can't see gravity.
While it's acting on me, you know.
Yeah. So there's so many things we can't see, but there are laws that we have, that we accept. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes.
Thank you, BJ, for such a wonderful class. It seems that, you know, all this envy and desire for sense gratification and so forth, it just comes from a big false ego. And Ravana, obviously, he was the epitome of someone with a super huge false ego. And so could you comment on that, how the false ego, like, really actually needs to be overcome?
Yes, described that there's different, that the different elements, the eight elements, they're covering the universe, right? Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind. So the false ego is the thickest. So the false ego is the most difficult to overcome. And it's because of the false ego. False ego means a false understanding of our identity. If we think that we're the body, then so many other problems come out. You know, the lust and the anger and greed and envy and so much pollution. As soon as we get over that one obstacle, I'm not the body. I'm the soul. That gives way to becoming free of so many other contaminations. So, of course, it's not easy. We've been in the material world a long time. We've had this false ego a long time. But this process is so powerful. It's described in the Bhagavatam that just as when we eat, we don't know how the digestive system is all working. You know, it's inconceivable how all the nutrients are going around and everything is working. So similarly, it's by this process of hearing and chanting, it's inconceivable how we get purified. Nagirnam analoyata. That by hearing and chanting, by engaging in devotional service, we get purified of the false ego. And our real ego comes out. Identity, our real identity, that we're eternal servants of Krishna. I was just listening to a lecture, Prabhupada said that our real identity, our swarup, We all have a relationship with Krishna. It comes out gradually as we continue on devotional service. We were all originally with Krishna, and we had a relationship with Krishna. So this process of Krishna consciousness is bringing that out, bringing out this real identity, this real ego, this spiritual identity, this spiritual ego. But we have to be very determined. As it's mentioned here, the last sentence, Prabhupada says, in Vedic history there are many instances of how one becomes godless and is condemned by the laws of nature. And there's many instances of devotees in our movement, you know, that have become bewildered again and became godless. So we have to be so careful. We have to follow this process very strictly. Yeah. Not leave room for Maya to move in. To really firmly take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, of this Hare Krishna mantra. It's okay?
Yeah, thank you very much. But so also, it was our false ego that got us here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Any other question or comment? Oh, there's one back there. Mother Karuna Dharini.
We often hear, and I failed to follow this rule, but we shouldn't preach to our relatives if it will agitate them, you know. And so we see that Vibhishan and Prahlad Maharaj both preach to their relative. And I'm wondering, why did they get to break the rule? Because they're better preachers?
Well, they were special preachers, especially Prahlad Maharaj. He's like, actually there's only two devotees, you know, there's these different processes of devotional service, Shravana, Kirtan, Vishnu, Swanapada, Sevanam. So there's nine devotees that are expert at each of these different services. And then we also have the Mahajans, right? Swayambhur, Narada, Sambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu. There's only two devotees that are in both of those categories. One of them is Prahlad Maharaj. So he's a very special devotee. And the other one, who was the other one? Anyone know? Bali Maharaj. And they were both born in demoniac families, which is kind of interesting. That should encourage us. You know, some of us were born in demoniac families. So, Vibhishan, also, I mean, he must have been an extraordinary, just to stand up against his brother. I mean, he had a lot of faith in Ram. So these weren't ordinary devotees. You know, most of us are kind of like ordinary devotees and we don't really know how to preach nicely. Actually, there's an instance, just to finish this off, I'll give you a nice pastime of Prabhupada. Some of you may have heard this, but it's worth hearing again. It's such a beautiful Prabhupada Leela. Giriraj, when he went to India, it was very painful for his parents because he was the only son and they were very attached to him. So they went to India to bring him back. And immediately when Giriraj or Brahmacharya at that time picked him up, they were trying to convince him to go back to America because it was hard to live without him. They were so attached to him. Even though he's living at the temple, still they would see him sometimes. But he's like, no, I want to stay in India. So they were trying to convince him, trying in different ways, no, I want to stay. So then they thought, well, maybe they can get the sympathy of Prabhupada. So they asked him if they could have a meeting with Prabhupada. And they had him, it was Prabhupada and Giriraj and the parents and the servant was there. And they asked Prabhupada, you know, this disciple of yours, he's our only son, and we have a lot of affection for him. Can you please send him back to America? And Prabhupada asked Giriraj, do you want to go back to America? He was detached. No, Prabhupada, I want to stay with you. So Prabhupada looked at them and said, what can I do? You don't want me to force them, do you? And they said, no. So then there's an undersea stain. So then Prabhupada said, well, listen, why don't you take your parents to the foothills of the Himalayas, Haridwar, spend 5 days or so with them, give them some association. And he said, yes, I can do that. So the parents are very happy about that. So then they got back to Bombay. And before they were going to fly out, Giriraj wanted them to get some association with Prabhupada, wanted his parents to get some more association. So it was just Giriraj there and the parents and Prabhupada and the servant. And Prabhupada didn't preach to them at all. He was just talking to them, joking, just making differences between America and India, and didn't preach to them at all. And they were having a good time. And they left very happy. Just like our motto in book distribution is, everybody walks away with a good impression. If they don't take a book, at least they walk away with a smile. Right? So they walked away with a smile. Prabhupada's the best preacher, right? So he didn't preach. But they were very impressed with Prabhupada. And after they left, after the parents left and Giriraj left, the servant said to Prabhupada, said, Prabhupada, you amaze me. Everyone loves you so much. And Prabhupada said, that's because I love everyone so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So that was his preaching. Just be a friend. Sometimes that's the best preaching.
Yeah, if you actually love someone, then you'll say the right thing.